Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church in Waterford, Michigan. We're glad you found us. We hope as you go through our website, you'll find some things that are helpful to you and help you as you walk with Jesus and discover more and more of who He is and who you are. You'll find the sermons helpful, both recent and from years past are here on this website. We hope that the teaching of God's Word is a blessing to you. You're going to find an area for upcoming events. Also, several of our artists here recorded several of their songs are here. We hope you enjoy them and they're a blessing to you. Also, you'll find an area in the website to contribute to Community Bible Church. A lot of people can't help, but if God has put you in a place where you can, we surely would appreciate it if you could help us as we attempt to help others. God bless you.
I've always been difficult for me to find anything. I get lost in a phone booth. And if I were standing facing this direction and you turn me around facing that way, I would ask, where am I? So I've always been interested in maps. And I think I started my interest in maps because of Hans Bosch. I was pastoring in Washington Island, and in came this man into my office. I'd only been there for 1 week, and in came Hans Bosch wearing bib overalls, flannel shirt, sneakers with no socks, heavy glasses, unkempt beard, and muscled hair. And he said to me in his Danish accent, Pastor Gaul, I have a map that takes you to the hidden city of Atlantis. And I said in my mind, sure you do. And I thought, well, you know, we'll humor him. And he said, would you like to see it? I said, well, maybe sometime. And when he left, about an hour later, Jack Hagen, the mayor of Washington Island, came in and said, you are talking to Hans Bosch. I said, Dad, do you know who he is? I said, no. He said, he was once in charge of Indian affairs in the United States. And was one of the most important people in the government. Duh. I didn't even ask to see the map. Now, I think that's how I got my interest in maps and how important they could be. So during the winter time in Washington Island, when my son Chris was bored, before a snowfall, I used to take a package filled with chocolates and candy and hide it out in the woods so the snow would cover my tracks. And then I would drop a piece of paper on the floor in the morning when he got up, and he would come out and say, what's that? And I said, maybe it's a treasure map. And he said, well, how do I know if it's a treasure map? I said, you'll know if it's a treasure map if you find the treasure. So what we'd do is we'd go, and I left several clues and several points. We get to one, and we get another clue. And I'd wait until he was exhausted, ready to give up. It's cold, Dad. There's nothing. And I'd wait until he was, and I'd say, just try one more time. And we'd always find the treasure. And that's what God always says. When you're ready to give up, try one more time. Because that's where the treasure is. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful you ask us to do some strange things. But Father, we've got to learn to take you seriously, to listen to what you say, like I should have listened to Hans. You want us to trust you. And I pray, Lord, that we would learn to do that if we haven't learned it already, because trusting you leads us to where the treasure is. We thank you now for this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever wondered why God does things the way he does? He asks us to live by faith. How do we know what the Lord promises for us is true? What's it mean to live by faith? Well, let's look at the scriptures in Exodus chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. What does it mean to live by faith? But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Now, Moses simply wanted proof that what God said was true. But what God said is, when you have successfully gotten the Israelites out of Egypt, then you'll get your proof. Faith shows us that the journey is just as important as the destination. Okay? Now, I want you to turn to Hebrews 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 23 through 29. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He preserved because he saw him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the application of the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. And by faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. The journey would prove that God was with him. Look at your life. Do you really think you got this far on your own? If you examine your life from birth to death, you'll see how you escaped many a tragedy. It was the hand of God that got you this far. He was with you as he was with Moses. And I want to share a testimony of one of my students at the seminary. Teresa's mother was 12 years old when she was born. Her mother was 12 years old when she was born. And she was born a crack baby. She had 5 or 6 brothers and sisters, all of which had a different father. She was born an addict, can you imagine? Right from the very start. She was sent to live with relatives and was passed from house to house, abused in every way you could imagine, physically and otherwise, and just went on and on and on and on and on and on in her misery, living in place after place after place. And one day, one of her mother's boyfriends, who was a drug dealer, took Teresa under his wing, and he said, "Listen, you can do better with your life than I've done with mine or your mother's done with hers. You can change your life. Get a good education. Be the kind of person that I sense you can be." He said, "Make something of your life." He said, "As far as these punks on the street are concerned hitting on you, they won't touch you because they'll be dead." He said, "I rule the streets." And do you realize she went to many churches and no one helped her? And the person that started on her journey toward Christ was a drug addict? Do you think that was strange? Do you not think that that was, in one form or another, God? You see, God has brought people into your life. Sometimes they seem strange, and why would they come into your life? They just didn't fit. They weren't the kind of person you would normally, now at this time, associate with. But nonetheless, they moved you from dead center. They pushed you to the edge. They pushed you and pushed you and pushed you to the edge till almost you were ready to jump. And then suddenly, a light went on. Suddenly you realized, somehow or another, you needed to find the answers for your life and something to do with God and whether he really existed and what's this all about. And there you were. Well, Teresa didn't get any help from Christians. That surprised me. To think that God would use a drug dealer? She could never have made it. She could never have walked the path she walked without stumbling and falling into the pit of darkness and discouragement and fear and anguish and uncertainty and mental confusion. But God was with her. And he brought those things into her life that would move her like a steady stream toward a quiet pond. What about your life? What about your life? God is moving some of you in a direction toward him. You might say to yourself, "Well, where was God when I needed him?" He was always there. Look at Moses. Moses was guided by God step to step to step to step to step to step to step. He was guided. He lived by faith. It's interesting for me, as I talk to Teresa, she just wrote her doctoral paper. She's going to be Dr. Teresa Moore. She's amazing. She has her own catering service. She's an expert decorator. She's a trained artist. She can do any number of things. She's extremely talented. And I remember when she first came into the class and she discovered the verse that said, "For such an hour as this, you were brought into the kingdom." She said, "For such an hour as this, I, a crack baby, was brought into the kingdom?" I said, "Yes." She said, "I believe that." She ended up marrying a Christian. Made a commitment to Christ just afterward, not before. Made a commitment to Christ, and this man loved her and showed her that even though she seemed to be a wreck, a piece of broken glass, that God could make a stained glass window of her life and cause the light to shine through it in many colors. And she is absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. And so there we go. There it is. Why does God do things the way he does them? I don't know. But I know he never makes a mistake. I know he's never wrong. I know he cares. How many times have you prayed for a loved one to be healed from sickness and suddenly they weren't? And you said, "But it worked for some people, not for me." But did you ever think that maybe what happened was not what was best for you, but best for the person that went to be with him? God always does what's best for the person. Not always what's best for us, but always what's best. And there we go. I took our kids one day to Disney World. Now, there was three of them by then, and it was a lot of fun because we were all the same emotional maturity. Yay, we're going to Disney World! Yay! I'm finally going to meet my hero, Mickey Mouse. And they said, "Well, we thought your hero would be Goofy." And we didn't go very far, and the kids said every 20 miles, "Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? How do you feel about your journey? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet?" You see, what God does is God gives you a task, a journey to travel. And it isn't until you finish that journey that he will reveal the treasure. Why? Because he knows you trust him, but do you know it? Do you know I spend more time explaining to Christians why the Bible is true than I do trying to explain it to non-Christians? Interesting, isn't it? The Bible is true. I could set up a whole scheme of apologetics demonstrating beyond question that Jesus was absolutely, unquestionably risen from the dead with what they call prima facie evidence. Any evidence in court that would hold up under any system of judgment. There's no question that Jesus Christ rose physically from the grave. And it can be proven in any court of law. But if you determine that you're not going to believe it, no matter what's said, that's your choice. God does not ask you to believe without evidence. He doesn't ask you to take a journey where he does not help. He does not challenge you to benefit him. He does it to benefit you. So you're here. How was your journey up to this point? How was it? What it can be after this point makes all the difference in the world. It's absolutely incredible. I want to read something I thought was very interesting, and at first I didn't agree with it. So I read it twice, and I read it three times. You listen. Joe was a drunk who was miraculously converted at a Bowery mission. Prior to his conversion, he had gained the reputation of being a dirty wino from whom there was no hope, only a miserable existence in the ghetto. But following his conversion into a new life with God, everything changed. He became the most caring person that anyone associated with the mission had ever known. Joe spent his days and nights hanging out at the mission, doing whatever needed to be done. There was never anything that he was asked to do that he considered beneath him. Whether it was cleaning up the vomit left by some violently sick alcoholic, or scrubbing toilets after careless men left the men's room filthy, Joe did what was asked with a smile on his face and a seeming gratitude for the chance to help. He could be counted on to feed the feeble men who wandered off the street and into the mission, and to undress and tuck into bed men who were too out of it to take care of themselves. One evening, when the director of the mission was delivering the evening evangelistic message to the usual crowd of still sullen and sick men with drooped heads, there was one man who looked up, came down the aisle to the altar, and knelt to pray, crying out to God to help him change. The repentant drunk kept shouting, "Oh God, make me like Joe. Make me like Joe. Make me like Joe. Make me like Joe." The director of the mission leaned over and said to the man, "Son, I think you would do better if you prayed, 'Make me like Jesus.'" The man looked up at the director with a quizzical expression on his face and asked, "Is he like Joe?" What would the world be like if it was like you? You see, the world doesn't see Jesus. They don't see him. They see you. What would the world be like if it was filled with people just exactly like you? Isn't that interesting? You see, the only way they'll get to see Jesus if they first want to be like you. Remember Paul said, "You became followers of me as I was of Christ?" And I used to think, boy, that's really egotistical. "You became followers of me as I am of Christ." La-da-da-da-da-da. Now, Paul was only 4'11" and a half. He was a little loudmouth ranter at one time. And then as a Christian, converted dramatically by God, he said, "You became followers of me as I was of Christ." You see, the world couldn't see Jesus. They could see Paul. And once they saw Paul, they realized they weren't drawn to Paul. They were drawn to Jesus who was in Paul. And Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me." And if you lift up Christ in your life and people want to be like you, you lift up Jesus and they'll come to him. Are you fun to be with? Well, you don't have to be fun all the time. Life isn't always fun. Would you like to have you as a roommate in heaven for eternity with no change from what you are this moment? You know, I have this little secret prayer. God, fill heaven with people that aren't like me, but are like you. You see, that's it. You can make a difference in your life, at your job, in your marriage, in your community, with your friends, and those people who want to be like you are getting the message. Let's stand and pray together. Someone said, "Well, you quit awfully quick. When I'm finished, I'm finished." Let's pray. Father, we thank you. And it's humbling to know, Lord Jesus. And we ask ourselves, how do we know what you say is true? When we do what you tell us to do, we'll find the treasure. God didn't prove himself to Moses until he actually brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. Once he did that, then he would meet at the foot of the mountain. Lord, help us to reach the foot of the mountain that we might see the face of God. We thank you for this time now, and we pray you'd bless it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. During most of the year, our morning worship service is 11 o'clock in the morning on Sunday. During our summer, between the holidays of Memorial Day and Labor Day, our starting time is 10 o'clock in the morning. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.